everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Doses of Debuku podcast. And in today's episode, we'll be having a question and answer section. Guess what, guys? I have a guest with me on my podcast today. His name is Akindele Adeleke Gabriel. He's a writer, a biostatistician, and a music artist, and also my Twitter friend. He's a likable person. One thing I like about him is that he reasons well, he has a sound reasoning, and he thinks well. So I'm sure he's able to do justice to your questions. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi, Debuku.
I welcome you to This Is of Debuku podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you today. I hope we have a very exciting time together.
Yeah, it's nice having you here too.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm good. And I trust you're good too.
I'm okay. Are you ready for the question and answer section?
Definitely. I'm set.
Yeah, because there are a lot of questions from my listeners here.
Let's go, dear.
Okay, the first question here says, I bought my best friend his dream gift for his birthday, though I don't want to get it, but I just needed to make him happy. A week after his birthday, he was hospitalized because of the gift. Did I do something wrong or am I a bad friend?
Oh, okay. For that question, I think we can't really give a kind of a verdict because there are still parameters we need to examine that is not supplied by the person that sent the question.
Okay.
Some other questions that we can ask, like, did you know beforehand that the gift will affect their health before buying it? Because the person clearly said that, oh, she doesn't want to buy it, or he doesn't want to buy it. I don't know whether he or she, that they don't want to buy it. Now, to expatiate on that, if beforehand you did not know that the gift will affect them health-wise, then you didn't do anything wrong at all. But if beforehand you knew the gift will affect them, then you did something wrong, because friendship is not about doing everything for your friend. It's about doing the right thing for your friends. When you see your friend going into fire, you don't need to encourage it because you want to prove loyalty to them. So you could be wrong. But even if you are wrong, even if you have done that, what have been done has been done. The deed has been done. You just have to pick yourself up and become better next time. So that is what I have to say about that.
Wow. Thank you for answering the question.
You're welcome.
So that question is from Favor. Favor question says, why can't there be equality between genders in the sense that people say it is ideal for men to cheat even in marriage and it is not right for women? I need answer on this because it saddens me a lot. From Favor.
The problem with your question is more of a public prejudice, because it is not ideal for anyone to cheat, either man or a woman. It is never ideal for anyone to cheat.
Yeah, that's right.
So if somebody is telling you, or some group of persons are telling you, it is ideal for man to cheat, why it is not ideal for women to cheat, then they are very wrong. There is no way that standard is enacted. There is no society that put it that men can cheat. Yes, some people might be skewed to that kind of decision, but it is not the standard. It is just their own prejudice. It's not supposed to be so, ideally. So Favor, there can be equality about being faithful in relationship. Each person, no one allowed to cheat. So that is it.
Wow, thank you, Favor. Can you hear that? Okay, we move to the next question.
I'm used to being alone. Why do I get scared of giving room to relationships, even when I want to be in one?
That's a dicey question. Because you, the reason is, see, when it comes to this kind of question, the best answer can only come from the person that is asking the question. You understand?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it might be a product of experience. Maybe they have been into relationship themselves before and then it didn't work out well the way they expected. Or maybe they have been seeing some kind of relationship, maybe their sisters, their parents, or somebody in their environment that doesn't work out the way they expected relationship to be. So it could create a kind of phobia in them, or a kind of doubt in them, that whenever they want to go into relationship, they will rethink it, like, is it really worth it? I want it, but should I really? Will I end up like this person or this person? So the best answer to that question is for the person to actually discover what is stopping them. What is the main reason why they want it, but whenever they want to take the step, they withdraw back again. So they have the answer to their own question. I can't have the answer to that because I don't really know what is stopping them. I don't know their past experience. I don't know. They haven't really given us a kind of metric that we can work with to say that, okay, this is the reason why you are not going into relationships.
Wow. Okay, I actually want to add to what you've said. It might actually be that the person is afraid of outbreak, you know, getting hurt, or afraid that the relationship won't work, or afraid of returning to singlehood. So, imagine you are the age of 40 and you're still single. I'm sure you don't want to die being single. So you just have to let the fear go. Overcome your fear and do not be afraid. Stop being afraid. Just be prepared if you actually want to be in the relationship. That's all. And that's nice. That's nice. Thanks for answering the question. Thank you very much. The next question here is, I am a Nigerian in diaspora. I really love this lady and I've made up my mind to settle down with her. And making promises is not my thing. I'm ready for commitment. How do I convince her I'll be back for her?
How? You are in diaspora and you love someone back home and then you want to convince her. I think, see, promise in the first place. Promise are word of mouth and truth, eh? They are really hard. They are mostly experienced and thin. So even if you promise, it's just word of mouth. And word of mouth, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't hold any water. Because anybody can say anything to get anything. You understand? So what really matters is the action, the act. Now, you don't want to promise. All you need to do is just be in constant touch. Make sure you communicate with them. You can't claim to love them and then you don't want to promise them. Okay, like I said, it's really hard. It is mostly seen and experienced. So you don't need to, you don't want to convince them with word of mouth. It's fine. That is in fact fine. The best way to convince such person is with your action. And actions like constant communication, like giving to them.
Yeah.
When you give to somebody that you are not seeing, that person will know that, okay, you are investing something in me. Even though you have not seen me, that means that you are expecting that one day you will come back and meet me. That is why you are so confident to invest in me. You understand? Imagine you in diaspora and you love this person and you know that they love you, but you just want them to be sure about your love. You communicate with them daily and then make sure you give them something as often as you can. Because by giving them and not asking anything in return, they will know that, okay, this guy is not just passing time with me. He can't be investing in me like this and then not want anything from me. So definitely, they will know that you are coming back for them. That is why you are investing so much in them in the present. So those are kind of actions that you can take to make them see. You don't even need to talk too much. When they see your action will say a lot about whether you will be coming back for them or not. And then you have to keep them in loop. That is why I say communication. You have to keep them in gap of every of your step, most of your steps, so that they will know that, okay, this is his dream, this is where he's going to, okay, by this time it will come around for me. You know, when you give them and set them timeline to plan your life and their life with, you make them part of your plans and you let them know the plan, they will have this confidence and assurance that, okay, this person is already putting me as part of their plans and they are seeing it in your actions that whatever you are doing, you are putting them in. And I think it will be convincing more than even trying to convince them with word of mouth or all this word promise with words. You understand? So that is that about that.
Okay. I think creating a good relationship between the lady.
Yeah, definitely. I missed that. One important thing is your family and their family. If there is a way, let them meet your family. Let them go to your family and have, spend time with them, relate with them, your brothers, your mother, your father. And then you too, you can call, you can speak to their own family, their parents too, and acquaint yourself with their family members so that they will know that, okay, this is serious. Yeah, that is a very valid point. Thank you for bailing me out with that.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you so much too. Okay. Constant communication, creating a good relationship between the lady and your family and sending gifts, giving to in the relationship, we convince her. If you are listening to it right now, that's the answer we have to your question. So to the next question, how do you know when you are in love?
So, to different persons, it is different thing. But generally, there is one thing about love, and that is you will be willing to do things for that person, things that you find hard to do for other people. So in the case of Jesus Christ, he had to sacrifice himself for the salvation of humanity. And at a point before his death, he went up to praying to God that if God could even remove that pain and that sacrifice he was about to make, if God could remove it, that it's fine. But it's not according to his will, but according to the will of God. That is submission to love, because he is not something he would do on a normal day. But because he loved humanity, then he had to sacrifice. He had to make the sacrifice and go through the pain that on a normal day he won't go through. So that's something love does. Love gives. When you find yourself wanting to give more, wanting to please somebody, wanting to give more, wanting to smile even when you are not that happy, just to see that person smile, so you know you are in love. Because these days, people confuse lust for love.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can see somebody, maybe a guy seeing a lady very beautiful and pretty with nice shapes, and you'll be like, wow, I don't fall for this girl. when you say something like that, you are not really falling for them. You are just lusting after what you have seen, like maybe the shape or something about them, maybe the way they look beautiful in their appearance and something like that. But you will only know love when you start to do things that on a normal day you can't do for any other person. You start to do it for them. That is when you will know that you are in love. So love is when you are able to sacrifice things that you are not, that you won't do on a normal day for others. Then you know you are deeply in love with them.
All right. You also start feeling a sense of empathy towards the person, and you always want to experience the same feeling as them. You will want to feel what they are feeling, even at your own detriment.
Yes, exactly. That is it. That is it. You want to put yourself in their own feelings too.
Exactly. Yeah.
And be in sync with them. Yes, that is true.
Okay. So I think we've answered the question.
Yeah, we answered to our best knowledge. So exactly. Let's move on from there.
Okay, another question says, how can I start up a conversation when I'm this introvert kind of person?
Oh, being an introvert, that is a very beautiful question. It's interesting because I am not an introvert myself, but I know something about personality. One thing I know about personality is for you to succeed in life, for you to be able to achieve everything you want to achieve in life, then you need to learn how to get out of your personality sometimes.
Okay.
So when you say you are an introvert, for you to do things that introverts would not normally do, then you need to learn how to act up like you are not an introvert. See, this life is like a drama. It's like a stage. Sometimes you don't have to be a doctor before you go on the stage and act like a doctor. Yes, that doesn't mean you are faking it. That is just putting the act that you need at that time, that you need to achieve what you want to achieve at that time. So as an introvert, you want to start up a conversation. One thing that stops you first is your own thought of who you are. So as an introvert, when you see a conversation that you need, that, okay, I need to speak with this person because I need something from this conversation, the first thing that stops you is your own self thought. I'm an introvert. Normally, I'm not supposed to do this. But when you train yourself to get out of that feeling and say, okay, I'm an introvert, but for now, let me pretend I'm not an introvert and do what every other person does. So, and for you to be able to do that, you need knowledge. You need knowledge of how things work. Now, you need to learn how to approach people with courtesy, how to greet people and make them listen to you. So when you learn all these kind of things, whenever you need it, you put it in your arsenal. Even as an introvert, you don't need to talk to people anyhow. You just like the comfort of your own self and then watch how people do and so that you can respond. But at some point, you will need to be the one to initiate the conversation. So when you have those knowledge of how extroverts and other personalities, how they make their moves, then you'll be able to pick it out whenever you need it. And then you deploy it whenever you need it. So like me now, I'm an extrovert, but I can go to places and not say anything and enjoy my own company because I have learned how introverts, how they act. And when I need to be with somebody that I want to create impression that I'm not an extrovert, because maybe I've heard about them that they don't really flow well with extroverts. They like people that are conservative. So I will learn that, okay, when I go to that office, what I need to do is act up like an introvert. And then I will put up the act and act it, and it will be fine and it will gel. So, and one interesting thing about an introvert is, it's not as if they are not good with communication. They are just not good with initiating it. Once they get comfortable with you and once you know them, you will see that they are even more better in communication than the so-called extrovert. So when you learn how to initiate that conversation by putting up the act of an extrovert, then the person will get to know you, and from there you will see yourself and the person even wanting to know you more. You won't be the one to stress the communication again. They will be the one that will pick up the interest in knowing you. So I think that will help. Learn how other personality are, how they initiate conversation, and deploy it. That's simple. Take yourself out of the feelings that I am an introvert. Take yourself out of it. So that is that about that.
Sorry, you are right, because I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've come to the end of today's episode, though we still have some questions that are yet to be answered, and we'll be answering them on the next episode. So stay tuned. Thank you, Gabriel. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you for honoring my invitation. I really appreciate it. I pray God bless you for me.
Amen. Thank you, Debukun. I must confess, I really had an exciting and sweet time. Those are very brilliant and beautiful questions. And then I believe that the little of the justice we were able to do to it will be of help to the people that asked those questions. And I'll be looking forward to having me here with you on the podcast again some other times, because I really enjoyed myself today. Thank you for having
me. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. And to all my listeners, thanks for always listening to my podcast. Thanks for the questions you dropped. I really appreciate, and I pray God bless you for me too. I love you all. Mwah.